Welcome to Least of These, where I cover the cases that need it most, because every life matters and everyone deserves justice. I'm your host, Leah D., and today I'll be covering the case of Crystal Ann Timmick in Los Angeles, California. Let's get right to it. Hyde Park is one of the oldest neighborhoods in Southwest LA. According to Urbanize LA, Hyde Park became a town as far back as 1887, and by 1922, that small town was incorporated as a city, with its very own government completely separate from that of Los Angeles. But that didn't last long, and by May of 1923, residents of Hyde Park voted to merge with LA. Though it was now governed by Los Angeles, Hyde Park always kept its sense of community, many of the families living in the neighborhood for generations. While the streets are mostly lined with palm trees and there are plenty of parks throughout the community, as with any larger city, crime has a way of sneaking in and taking root. Again, not unlike many of the major cities in the U.S., in the late 80s and early 90s, violent crime was at its peak, according to the Pew Research Center. In 1994, the 6,000 block of Bryhurst Avenue in Hyde Park is where 6-year-old Crystal Ann Timmick called home. Well, that is at least part of the time. Crystal traveled back and forth from her mother's home in Santa Monica to her father's home there in Hyde Park, a home that had been in her father's family for generations. The morning of June 30, 1994, started off much like any other summer day in southern Los Angeles. The sun was shining, the weather was damn near perfect, the temperature in the high 70s. School was out and the kids in the neighborhood were outside, soaking in all the summer they could. The LA Times reported that Crystal Timmick was playing near her home with her three brothers, Jeffrey, Michael, and Sean. Crystal was 6 and her brothers were all older, between the ages of 8 and 12. The children were picking peaches from their neighbor's tree, which was only about 4 to 5 houses down from their father's home. Anyhow, the kids were picking peaches from the neighbor's tree and throwing them over the roof of the house to see who could throw the furthest. I mean, this was 1994, and there wasn't all that much to do. So a little friendly peach-throwing competition seemed like a great way to pass the time. As the 4 kids played, in the afternoon or early evening, their grandmother called for them to come in. It was sometime between 2 and 5 p.m. Now, that's a pretty wide time window, but unfortunately, it's the only window we got. I tried to narrow the time down, since it's crucial to what happened next, but in all of the reporting, that is the given time frame. So somewhere between 2 and 5 p.m., their grandmother called for them. And when she did, they didn't hesitate to come running. You see, they all had plans that evening, plans that they were looking forward to. The family was gonna watch The Lion King together. And that would have been a huge deal. According to IMDb, The Lion King premiered in New York City on June 12th and had a limited release in theaters in L.A. on June 15th. So just 2 weeks prior. Remember when movie releases used to be exciting? Those were the good old days. So when the siblings heard their grandmother calling, they took off running. As they were headed home, they turned back and in a split second, their sister was gone. At first, they must have thought she'd just fallen behind and she'd make it back to the house in a few moments. But Crystal Ann never made it home that day. After 6-year-old Crystal Timmick failed to return home with her 3 brothers, her family immediately began searching the neighborhood. Walking up and down the palm-lined streets and asking anyone and everyone if they had seen her. According to reports, they searched for roughly an hour, but with no sign of the little girl, the family called police. The cops showed up in full force. Nearly 100 police officers and agents from the FBI scoured every inch of the neighborhood, looking for any clue. And when nothing was found, police began to suspect that little Crystal had been abducted. She was considered to be an endangered missing child. This, of course, all happened before the Amber Alert system was created. But the LAPD did everything they could with the tools they had at the time. By the evening of the 30th, a localized tactical alert was issued, meaning that police officers in the area remained on duty, even after their shifts ended. Off-duty officers were called in. Realizing that time was of the essence, police searched relentlessly throughout the night. By 4:30 a.m., they had found no trace of the little girl, no clue as to who had taken her or what direction they were headed. They had absolutely zero to go on. 1 minute, Crystal Timmick was throwing peaches with her older brothers, and in the next, she was just gone. At 4:30 a.m., the tactical alert was canceled, but that didn't mean the search was over. In fact, it was just beginning. TV news reports blasted Crystal's photo, pleading for information from the public. Missing persons flyers were distributed by her family and volunteers. The news reports and missing flyers listed Crystal's description. She was roughly 4 feet tall, with blonde hair and hazel eyes. Last seen wearing a pink t-shirt, flowered shorts, and white sneakers with a Little Mermaid design. The city council immediately put up a $10,000 reward for information, and police officials left no stone unturned, even going as far as turning to psychics to try and find Crystal. Her photo was placed on milk cartons, billboards, trucks, and her case was featured on America's Most Wanted with John Walsh. The attention on Crystal's missing persons case did generate leads, and investigators tracked down every one of them. One led them nearly 1,000 miles north to Corvallis, Oregon. And an article published in the Corvallis Gazette on January 20, 1996, Corvallis police published a photo of Crystal, asking anyone to come forward with information. The article stated that Crystal had been seen near the Corvallis-Benton County Public Library and Cub Foods in September and October of 1995, which would have been 1 year and 3 months after her disappearance. Initially, that lead seemed promising, but ultimately it was just another dead end, and the year ticked on with 6-year-old Crystal still missing. In March of 1996, the city of Los Angeles placed an ad in the LA Times offering a $25,000 reward. That reward came with an expiration date of May 5th, in hopes that it would drive someone to come forward quickly. But again, Crystal remained missing. As time passed, the news cycled as it always does, and Crystal's story began to fade from the headlines. That was until 11 years after her disappearance in 2005, when the search for Crystal heated up again. In 2005, Crystal's Hyde Park neighborhood was swarmed with more than 100 Los Angeles police detectives, FBI agents, and coroner personnel. They were searching a house directly across the street from Crystal's childhood home. While authorities didn't publicly link the search to Crystal Timmick, family members told the LA Times that the department had reopened Crystal's case. Crystal's family and residents from the neighborhood rushed to the scene, hoping that investigators would find some clue as to what happened to Crystal Timmick. They watched and held their breath as officials descended on a home at Brenhurst Avenue and 60th Street. As it turned out, the search had been prompted by a tip to the FBI about the suspicious burial of an animal around the time Crystal disappeared. Crystal's brother Jeffrey stood on the front steps of his family's home as he spoke to the LA Times. He revealed to the outlet that the home across the street being searched used to belong to a female reverend, who frequently invited neighborhood children in her home for religious services. The Reverend no longer lived there, but that's who was in the house at the time his sister went missing. As Jeffrey spoke, he held a photo in his hands of a teenage girl that resembled Crystal, a photo that was taken by a group that tried to help runaway teens. Even after a decade had passed, he held out hope that his little sister was still alive. The LA Times also interviewed a neighbor, 90-year-old Alice, who was also on her porch watching as investigators searched the Reverend's former home. She recalled to the outlet that Crystal used to play with her grandchildren and that the little girl loved candy. 11 years later, Alice still kept a photo of Crystal in her Bible. She hoped that investigators would find something that would lead them to Crystal. It was clear that the Hyde Park neighborhood had never forgotten Crystal or got over the fact that an innocent 6-year-old little girl had vanished into thin air on their streets. The search of the Reverend's former home was concentrated on the crawl space underneath the house, and officials did recover multiple bones. But ultimately, those bones turned out to be animal. A collection of bones from fish, cows, and dogs. What they were doing in the crawl space? I couldn't tell you. Pretty strange if you ask me. But after the search of that home, it seemed investigators were no closer to finding Crystal than when they began. And with that, Crystal's case grew cold again.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down? And you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all, and everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
In October of 2010, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children released an age-progressed image of Crystal, showing what she may have looked like at 23. And again, 7 years later in 2017, another age-progressed image showing Crystal at the age of 29. Crystal's family has never stopped searching for her, especially her older brother Michael, who ran a Facebook page called Missing Crystal Ann Timmick. Over the years, women have come forward claiming to be Crystal. Michael posted photos and text messages of women who claimed to be trafficked or kidnapped, and also claimed that they were actually his missing sister. As unbelievable as it is, this is something many families of missing persons go through, and it's rarely talked about. Sometimes it's meant to extort money out of the family. Sometimes the person is delusional. And sometimes it's purely evil, preying on a family who is already enduring one of the worst things possibly imaginable. It's a roller coaster ride through hell, thinking there's a possibility that this is actually their missing loved one, only to find out it's a crackpot with a Wi-Fi connection. It's despicable, but unfortunately, common. Michael weeded through the false claims, holding out hope each time that this time he would find his sister. He did this until his dying day. In August of 2022, Michael passed away, never knowing in this life what happened to his little sister. Crystal Ann Timmick remains missing. She would be 38 years old today. While little is known about Crystal, her mother once described her as a fighter, and said that her little girl enjoyed arcade games. Crystal was born on September 23, 1987, in Los Angeles, and last seen on June 30, 1994, in Hyde Park between 2 and 5 p.m. At the time of her disappearance, she was approximately 4 foot tall and weighed 60 pounds. She's a white female with blonde hair and hazel eyes. Last seen wearing a pink t-shirt, flowered shorts, and white sneakers with a Little Mermaid design. If you have any information about the disappearance of Crystal Ann Timmick, please contact your local FBI office. And that, my friends, is all I've got for this week. Be sure to join me next Thursday for an all-new episode. In the meantime, you can follow me on Instagram at least_of_these or my Facebook at Least of These Podcast. And if you're sick of ad interruptions, I've got good news for you. You can get all your episodes ad-free, just the way you like them, for just $2 a month. And as a member of Patreon, you'll be the first to be notified when new tiers will be launched with exclusive episodes and a few bonus surprises. Head on over to patreon.com/leastofthese to support the show today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for caring. If you know something, say something. And until next time, be good to each other. Hey there, I'm so glad you decided to stick around. This case is so difficult because there are so few leads, but I believe that this case is still solvable. Things like this just don't happen in a vacuum, and there is someone out there who knows something. And I say this all the time, but I'm going to say it again. It is so beyond time to come forward. I can't imagine just thinking that your kids are out there playing safe in the neighborhood. You know, innocent. I don't know what's more innocent than kids like picking some peaches off of a tree and throwing them at a roof. When I was a kid, you know, growing up in the 90s too, I just aged myself, but whatever. We didn't have peaches because we were in South Florida, but we had oranges. And we liked to throw them oranges in every which direction. We used to play this game called Snipes where we just throw them at each other. I don't know. But this case really hit me in the heart because that could have been any one of us. I mean, we were definitely more than 4 or 5 houses down from our home because we lived in a rural area. So it was probably, man, we might have been a mile away, you know, somewhere off in an orange grove, just playing. And you never think that that's going to be the time you get abducted. This little girl was 4 to 5 houses down in the middle of a summer day with her 3 older brothers. You would think that safety in numbers, she would have made it home that day, but in an instant, she was gone. And there's so little to go on. I know there's probably going to be a few people who are going to get upset that this episode is short, and there's not that many details, but I never turned down a case because of that. And Crystal's case deserves to be solved. That's a long time. Her family has waited a long time for answers, some of them already going on to glory without them. I mean, they have the answers now, but I just can't imagine it. One moment your child's there and then the next moment they're gone and you don't even know what direction to look in. And for her brothers, that has to be horrifying. They were right there. But unfortunately, they didn't see anything. That's how fast it happened. Man, it's just sad. 6 years old is so little and so young, and no one seems to have a clue, but like I said, somebody out there knows. Okay, I know that they do. This didn't just happen and nobody saw nothing. Somebody's family member, somebody talked about it. Somebody out there knows. And if that's you, you should do the right thing. I'm kind of glad that tonight's episode was a little short for another reason. I don't normally get too personal on here, but I think tonight I will. So my family has been dealing with a bullying issue, well, probably since last school year. My daughter is 14. It's her first year of high school. So last year would have been eighth grade. She went into ninth grade, and my daughter is a ray of sunshine, and she is sweet. And I never thought that she would be the victim of bullying ever, because she's also pretty brave. Like, I think most of y'all know that we moved. My husband was in the military, and we finally retired, and we're back to where we're from. So at her prior school, she had a friend who had special needs, and there was an incident where a boy, it was actually a boy, he wasn't even putting his hands on the other little girl. He was just in her space, and she wanted him out of her space, and he wouldn't listen. And my daughter jumped over a desk and got into a physical altercation with this boy so that he would leave her friend alone. So I never would have thought that bullying would have been an issue for her, okay? Because she's real good at sticking up for her friends. I mean, real good. She didn't get in too much trouble for that because, you know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But we've also always had an open door where she can tell me literally anything. And we've always told her that if someone puts hands on her or if someone's being mean to her, then she has a right to defend herself. And that's something she's been taught since she was a small wee child. And for the past, I guess last year wasn't as bad, but since school started and we started in early August, I did know that there was some mean girl stuff going on. She's in a classroom full of 14 girls. There are no boys in her class. And I knew there was some mean girl stuff going on, and it was really silly, okay? Like, kids making comments about a show she likes to watch. That most of them kids watch too, okay? Don't even get it twisted. But just comments, and I would tell her, oh, don't worry about them. Just, you know, do you. She has her little friend. She had one real good friend at school, a couple others that were nice, but there were several who were just mean. And just ignore it. And, you know, if it gets to be too much, I mean, you know what to do. I'm not going to say it here for legal purposes, my friend. But we always had the open door. And I just didn't think it was that bad for her. And then I found out from someone else just how bad it was. And when I did, I sat my daughter down and said, hey, listen, I'm just letting you know that you don't have to stay at this school. Like, you always have an exit. You have an out. So if it's getting too much for you to handle, you can come to me and we'll figure it out. And she said, no, Mom, I'm fine. That was on a Friday. But over the weekend, I made sure to make it really clear to her, like, this isn't a problem if you need to leave. This isn't a problem if it's getting to be too much for you. Your mental health is way more important to me than anything else. And we will figure it out. Pretty smart. I can figure it out and I won't be upset. Still, she went to school that following Monday, and then there was an incident with one of the girls that actually put my daughter in physical danger. And when she came home to tell me about it, she wouldn't even tell me about it in the car. I think she was afraid of what would happen if we were sold to school. But anyway, she waited till we got home to tell me. She told me what had happened. It was handled, and the school handled it pretty appropriately, but my daughter told me that she was done. She didn't want to go back, and so she was withdrawn from school. And I think the thing that I just need to get across to parents is, even if you've always had that open door and that honest conversation, because we always have. We've always talked about bullying and how, you know, it can affect someone, and tell me if it's happening. And she didn't, though, because it's easy for her to stand up for her friends, but it's not easy for her to stand up for herself. And we're going to work on that, okay? But I just think it's so important for parents to know that it's rough out there. And the things that kids are bullied for are absolutely stupid. Like, I can't think of a dumber reason to bully somebody than a TV show or cartoon or whatever. Like, come on, man. I don't feel like it was that bad in our day. I don't feel like we were that petty. But these girls these days, and I'm sure boys too, but I don't have a boy in that age group yet. But these girls these days, they're petty. And they're mean. And I'm sorry, there ain't no school worth your child's mental health. Because one of the leading causes for kids in the teenage age range. One of the leading causes, if not the leading cause, I'd have to look that up. Don't quote me, because I know that it changes, but suicide is way up there. And a lot of that stems from bullying and isolation and just absolute meanness. And my daughter came to me before it got that deep and that hard for her, but she still struggled harder than I wish she would have. Because let me tell you something, it ain't no school worth it. We figured it out in less than a week, how to get her in a different school. And honestly, we're really excited for her to start because this school offers even more. So what was a bad thing ended up being a positive thing. There were signs I missed, you know, she's never been one to be very like involved in the social activities or a girly girl. And she would come home from school and she would just kind of be sad, but she'd be fine, you know, a few minutes later. And I thought, oh, she's just stressed out. It's probably just a long day. And I should have pried more. And I say that being the mom that asks every day, like, how was your day? What did you do? Who did you talk to? Who were you eating with at lunch? But still, she went through more than she needed to. And when it got to the point where her physical being was in harm, I mean, that was the instant I already made up my mind. She was gone. She was done. And so did she. Talk to your kids and ask too, because one of the things that I was glad happened is there were other children who came to me and told me what was going on. And so maybe it's not your kid that's getting bullied, but they're aware of who it is. Talk to the teachers, talk to the administrators. That's the other mistake I wish I hadn't made, is that I didn't, because I didn't think it was that serious. It was just comments. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all it was to start with. And I wish I had went to them sooner. Because when it was brought to their attention, they did handle it. But hug your babies, especially your girls. Like, I just don't understand the meanness. I don't. And you know, I'm not trying to get in any trouble here, but I've been trying to live my life right for a long time now. But let me tell you, when someone's bullying your kids, it almost makes you return to your former ways. So let's take a moment and be grateful that I'm saved by grace and trying to walk with Christ these days. Because there ain't none like seeing your baby hurting. And I'll never forget the look on her face. And I am so glad that we are in a better place now. Talk to your kids. I feel like I've been on a 3-week streak of saying talk to your kids. But y'all, talk to your kids. This world is going crazy. And kids are getting meaner by the day. Some of them, they need to be a little more than talked to. And I better get off of here before I end up with a lawsuit and an officer at my door. Y'all know I love you more than my luggage, and I can't wait to talk at you next week. But until then, bye, boo thing.